Ladies and gentlemen, the first case this morning is Corey et al. Versus the Chicago Board of Education. Mr. Eaton.
Good morning, Your Honors. My name is Tim Eaton, and I represent the appellant, Chicago Public Schools. Your Honors, we are here on an appeal from the denial of a 60B5 motion, which we filed in March of 2012. The reason we filed it is that we believed that to continue the consent decree and apply it prospectively was no longer equitable in light of this Court's decision in Jamie S., which was actually filed by this Court in February of 2012. So we filed our motion within 3 weeks. Also, in light of the Supreme Court's decision in Walmart, we believed that the legal landscape had changed, and therefore there really should no longer be a class in this case, and the class plaintiffs had graduated, so there was really no standing. So as we saw and as we raised in our motion, although standing is determined at the outset of the case, the matter had really become moot. I think that's the issue, because there was no real live case or controversy at that point.
Well, all that's left is the monitor. You can turn in a report, isn't it?
Your Honor, that is true. There's two things that are going on here. It's not just the filing of the monitor's report, but the district court has made it clear in both his order denying our motion and then later in an order denying the motion to stay pending appeal, that the process will be that the report will be filed, then there will be objections filed as to the monitor's report, and then he will make the appropriate rulings. So what we will have is a monitor's report that has been vetted by the district court and in essence ruled upon, and will have the sanctity of a district court monitor's report.
Sanctity in what sense? I mean, can it compel CPS to act in a certain way going forward after that report, or will it
criticize
or commend CPS for the way that it's responded to the monitor's needs? I really don't understand what you mean about the effect of that monitor's report.
First of all, your first question, will it allow the district court to continue to enforce the consent decree following its ruling, and the answer is no. That concluded September 1st of 2012. But what it will do is give a blueprint for future litigation. The appellee has said, well, there's no effect of this monitor's report. It's simply informational. Well, Your Honor, there will be a lot of information in that will relate to what the monitor is going to find as flaws in the process or flaws in the way the matter has been handled, which could then result in future litigation against the school district. And what we're trying to prevent...
Well, future litigation by whom? Individual student and parents?
Yes.
Not the global thing that...
Correct. I'm not suggesting that there could be another class action, because I think, after Jamie S., I think this court has made it clear that I do not believe there could be another class certified based upon the wide definition that was given to this class.
Well, with respect to a 60B evaluation of your motion, I'm surprised that what you propose is a vacation of the certification order and the consent decree, essentially wiping the entire case out.
Yes.
Is that appropriately tailored to solve the problem you're concerned about? Wouldn't a better, more suited tailoring be an order that would direct the monitor not to file the report or to eliminate that part of the case, since the decree is over now?
That would be acceptable, but the dilemma we were faced with, first of all, we were not asking for retroactive application, because we believe everything that had occurred up until that point is fine. based upon the law as it was at the time that we agreed, even to the extension which included the monitor's report in 2010. That was an agreed order. I admit that, in 2010. But then the legal landscape changed. So we are faced with a situation where we're looking at a class that should not be certified as pursuant to existing law at that point. And what is the remedy? And as we saw,
the change in the law is strictly with respect to certification, how certification is viewed by the courts and how Rule 23b-2 and maybe other parts of Rule 23 are viewed.
Yes.
There's no change in the IDEA law with respect to least restrictive environment.
You're absolutely right.
That's unchanged, correct?
You're absolutely right. But what JMS said, in my opinion, was that IDEA, the IDEA statute, is child-specific and very particularized to the needs of each child. And I think this circuit made it clear that at that point there could not be a class certification under IDEA in most circumstances. I think Judge Rovner actually said in a concurring opinion that she thought that perhaps there might be instances when you're dealing with a systemic problem. But we do not believe as of that point that a class was appropriate. And if the class is not appropriate at that point, the remaining class plaintiffs have graduated because this settlement agreement was entered in 1998, and they're no longer children that go to CPS.
Well, I assume there are many others in the system now who have been, very frankly, taught and brought up under that consent decree.
Yes, and Your
Honor, at every level, there's somebody. Many people, actually.
CPS is very proud of the progress that has been made since that consent decree was entered into in 1998. And as a matter of fact, the class definition says that it's not only students who have been determined to be disabled by CPS or will be in the future. So it does include children that have come up through the ranks after the consent decree was entered. So it still does apply to them. But the difficulty that one has with the certification, which I think made clear in JMS, is it does involve all children who've been found to be disabled and who are subject to violations of the Act. Well, that's exactly the type of commonality that the Walmart case rejected. It said you can't just allege a class based upon all violations of Title VII. Title VII is rather broad. There could be any number of violations. JMS repeated that in its opinion, saying that you can't have a class where the only glue that's holding it together are multiple violations of IDEA. And so based on that and confronted with that, the school district would much rather focus its attention on serving the needs of the class instead of being in litigation. And so that's why we sought this. But, Judge Tinder, you're absolutely right. I mean, the sole remaining thing that needs to be done is the monitor's report, but that in and of itself is going to spin off additional litigation. And, by the way, we sought a stay of the effect of the consent decree going forward. It was denied. Since that time, we have paid the fees of the monitor. We paid the fees of the plaintiff's counsel. We have cooperated as we're required to do because the stay was denied. But now we're going to be heading into a monitor's report, which, by the way, is due tomorrow.
What's due tomorrow?
The monitor's report is actually due to be filed tomorrow. We have filed
a... Is this the final report?
Yes, sir.
Oh, so this is it. I wasn't clear when that was going to end. That's
well, it originally was going to be filed earlier, and then there was an extension.
Okay, so tomorrow's the day.
Tomorrow's the day.
Gee, we're here a day early.
Well, as a matter of fact, we filed a motion asking the district court to consider having the monitor's report filed under seal until this court rules. That's been briefed, and he's going to have a hearing on that at 11 o'clock. Today.
Were we going to have supplemental stuff on this?
Well, what I think could happen is that we would, if he would deny our motion to file the report under seal, we'll be back here on an emergency motion asking at least let it be filed under seal or defer the time in which it's filed until this court determines whether it was appropriate to go forward.
Has anyone requested that that date be deferred? I know you've requested that it be filed under seal. Have the plaintiffs requested that it be deferred?
We have not, but we intend to when we have the hearing at 11 o'clock as an alternative to having it filed under seal. Yes, we will be asking that it at least be deferred until this court determines, because what we have here is a very, very important issue for the Chicago Public Schools. It has very scarce resources, and what we would like to be able to do is just focus on continuing what we've done and the strides we've made under the consent decree.
Well, how would the issuance of the monitor's report affect that going forward? If the resources of CPS are focused on the,
right.
Those who have those have the needs, why is the filing of the report going to impair that?
Two ways. First of all, it's going to continue to require in-house counsel at CPS and others at CPS dealing with special education to focus on the litigation, because we will have 60 days then to file a response or objections to the report. We continue to have the
Is it required that you file a response? I thought I read judge's order as you have an opportunity to if you choose to.
Your Honor, what we anticipate will be in the report will require us to file, because we do not want unanswered what we believe will be criticisms that are unwarranted, and we want the opportunity.
That sounds like a public relations issue, not a legal issue. If it's not a compelling order from the judge, it's hard for me to understand how that is either a legal burden or how it's more onerous to you for this class, for the decree now expired to stay in place.
If we have a child that files a lawsuit based upon findings in this monitor's report, which the monitor continues to say is just informational, an argument can be made as to issue preclusion, because they would say, this is not just an informational report.
Findings of the monitor?
Well, Your Honor, what is going to happen is that we would file our objections, and then the court was going to make appropriate rulings. So you would have, in essence, a report that has been ruled upon by a judge and given
appropriate rulings under what authority, in what context. The decree has expired.
Right.
It contains no injunctive prospective obligations. What a judge might say, I just don't understand how that becomes a res judicata situation for you.
Well, I'm not suggesting res judicata. I am suggesting perhaps collateral estoppel. And here's what the judge said in denying our motion to stay, that the report will detail the level of compliance by CPS with the consent decree as viewed by the monitor. Both plaintiffs and CPS have a right to respond to that report, and the court will make appropriate rulings with respect to those responses.
Do you fear a contempt citation?
No. No. I think what we fear is that if the court rules that our objections are not appropriate, then, in my opinion, he has given the sanctity to the monitor's report by a district court judge that, in our opinion, did not have subject matter jurisdiction. And the issue of jurisdiction is extremely important. It's not just because we're close to the finish line. Subject matter jurisdiction can be raised at any point. Even if we have passed the finish line and we're on appeal, it can be raised. So the situation is important to know what are the circumstances under which that report was issued. And if the circumstances are that it was pursuant to a court that had jurisdiction, where there was a plaintiff class that had standing, it is going to give that report much more importance in terms of its future use.
Well, of course, we've had so many of these cases of individuals over the many years, and parents are always very scrutinizing and often critical, because there's nothing you can do, not enough you can do for their child, and it's perfectly understandable from a parent's point of view. I think what you're concerned about is if the monitor issues a report and lists certain things, then someone who identifies with one of those we'll call it criticisms or observations or whatever, will base that as evidence, I guess.
You're absolutely.
Well, I don't know how to, other than for the court to just completely discount it, say, well, you can ignore all of this, or this is just one person's opinion, although I understand there's a staff of just monitors. Is that right?
And, Your Honor, you've hit the nail on the head. That's our concern, that this is just going to spawn more litigation in the future, which we do not want and do not have the resources to continue to spend on litigation. We'd rather be focusing, again, on using those resources to help the children. And so that is our concern. And by the way,
what would preclude the monitor from providing to potential litigants in the future information that she collected during this process?
Nothing. But
so that's still out there, no matter what happens to the degree.
It would be,
class.
Your Honor. But if I were representing CPS in that future lawsuit where an individual filed it, I would say, well, sure, that's an informational report that was you've received from the monitor, but it was not filed within the district court proceeding where there was subject matter jurisdiction. It was not ruled upon by the trial judge after he had read objections. I think that gives it much more of an imprimatur if this court allows it to proceed.
It's just really perplexing to me because you talk about an imprimatur. I think of a judgment or a decree or something like that as opposed to this post-judgment, post-decree review. I'm not sure what that is.
Well, Your Honor, we aren't either. But
this is still a work in progress, isn't it? I mean, you're going to have a hearing this afternoon or this morning?
Right.
And are there any objections that you haven't complied with what the monitor wanted?
Oh, I'm sure that there will be
indications
in her
who
report.
Who has the authority then to rule to direct you to comply or not comply?
Oh, I don't think that the district court would have the authority, Your Honor, to tell us to comply with something that the monitor said we're not in compliance with. But again, our concerns are how this is going to be used in the future, and I think that's legitimate, particularly, and I know I haven't spent much time on my argument on this, but particularly when we do not believe that there should be a class after this court ruled in JMES and that there's no standing by the class plaintiffs, and therefore this matter is moot. So to allow it to go forward, and by the way, when we filed this motion, we were still obligated under the consent decree up till September 1st, so we had concerns there as well where compliance was an issue. And I see my light is on. I'll reserve the remaining time for rebuttal. Thank you, Your Honors.
Thank you, Counsel. Mr. Ellison.
Good morning, Your Honors. I was going to begin by saying that plaintiffs share the district court's puzzlement as to the point of this appeal, given that, as you noted, there's nothing enforceable left. But now I think it's clear that it's all about the monitor's report. And in their brief, they indicated, and Mr. Eaton did here, that he thought that there'd be preclusive effect. And Judge Tinder questioned him about collateral estoppel. Well, this report doesn't meet any of the requirements for collateral estoppel. There's no findings. There'll be no findings of fact by the judge. There was no adjudicatory hearing, opportunity to examine, cross-examine witnesses. Just none of the requirements.
Does the monitor have a master's authority? Can the monitor make findings?
I don't know about
recommend findings to the court.
No, yeah, the monitor made recommendations, and then the court often would rule on the monitor's recommendations. But the history of this case is that the rulings were reviewed by the district court, and the district court either approved and often didn't approve the monitor's recommendations.
Are you concerned, or maybe not you, but is it possible that something comes out of this report that is critical and one of your, I shouldn't call it your clients, I mean a student, parents, are really concerned about that report? Is it possible that someone on the monitor staff or the monitor itself could be called as a witness?
I suppose they could be called, but I can't think that their testimony would I don't know if their testimony would be relevant in a future
I don't know
suit,
either. It depends what's in the report, I suppose.
Yeah, I think
if it,
so.
If it talks about something that is a critical concern of the parents of a child that's going through exactly that circumstance, mm-hmm. and then they say that, you know, the school isn't doing enough or something, and then as evidence, here's the yeah. the monitor who went through the whole process of examining right. that issue. Is that a possibility?
Well, you know, the monitor is an arm of the court, and I'm not
is
sure.
That, is that the way it looks? The monitor is an arm of the court.
Yes.
And it's immune from any.
I believe the monitor would be immune because the monitor is acting at the direction pointed by and acting at the direction of the court. So I think it would be rather extraordinary to actually.
I don't know. I'm only yeah. trying to look at what ahead of what
right.
the concern might be.
Right. I've never heard of that being done, and I would be really well, very surprised.
Has it been monitors before?
I'm sorry.
Is there precedent for this monitor situation?
Oh yes, there.
Is that common?
Oh, it's very common in the structural class action cases.
I mean, in this context of looking into school system and the IEPs and all that stuff.
I believe it's very common.
There was a monitor in the Jamie S. case in Milwaukee, wasn't there?
There was. That's right. Yeah.
Now, I was asking Mr. Eaton about this report in terms of whether the vacation of the certification and so forth is really more than would be necessary to meet the concerns at this point. What happens to your side of the case if instead of vacating the certification and vacating the decree, that was all allowed to stand, but the requirement of filing a report were eliminated?
Well,
how does that harm the plaintiffs?
Well, I think that harms the plaintiff and the public and the advocacy community and the parents because this is a really Corey H. is a unique consent decree, not only the length of time, but the fact that it addressed in a concerted fashion all of the various policies and practices that denied public school students.
So the report is essential to the relief that you obtained through the decree?
Well, in fact, the report ended up as a result of whether or not the decree was to be extended or how this case would come to an end. And
it's important to the end of this case.
It's critical.
Okay.
It's critical. I think it's critical to the Chicago Board and to the public, to the taxpayers, because it will review in this unique setting. What was accomplished under this kind of concerted, all-encompassing consent decree.
So haven't you just given some real weight to your opponent's argument here?
I don't believe so. I think it makes it more critical. You know, I don't see the monitor's report as anything the board has a right to complain about. If there are criticisms, it should welcome them and say, these are ways to improve. This totally defensive reaction seems just totally inappropriate in terms of a public body serving the school children of Chicago. Maybe it'll bother some.
I appreciate that as a sort of a political or public relations criticism, right. But is that a legal criticism? Aren't they within their rights as a litigant in this case to get the best result from that report that they can get or no report?
Well, they obviously have a right to complain, but they don't have any legal grounds to complain. I mean, as it was pointed out, and Mr. Eaton agreed, this is purely informational. There is no legal right being violated by an informational report on the extent to which they complied.
And then what is the legal right to the report? It grows out of the decree?
Exactly. It is what the judge thought was instead of extending the decree for another 20 years, the judge said that it's important for the public, I'd say literally, I'm sure that he was thinking, it's important for the public to know what has been accomplished in the millions and millions of dollars that have been spent on this. All the huge resources of Board of Education on reforming the system of special education that was about the worst in the country. And the degree of its success will be a learning experience not only for the board, but for advocates, for parents across the country.
Is this report now set in stone, or is it now subject to the party's input from adjusting it to conclusions and so forth?
No. Our understanding is that when it is filed, as Mr. Eaton said, both parties will have an opportunity if they want to respond.
Have you seen it?
No. Oh, no.
It's out tomorrow, huh?
Well, it's scheduled for tomorrow. That's right.
You can't speak for the monitor, I suppose, but do you know whether it, in fact, is likely to be filed tomorrow, apart from what the court might do today? Is the report on the brink of completion?
I don't know. No. We haven't heard to the contrary. There's been no motion filed by the monitor to further extend, and the monitor was very confident in what she said before, that it will be filed.
Should the monitor be a part of this right now? Should we be hearing from the monitor?
I don't believe so. I think the monitor is part of the district court operation here. I don't think it would be appropriate to hear from the monitor, as it would not be appropriate to hear from Judge Gettleman. Judge Gettleman may or may not rule on this. It wasn't clear to us. He didn't. The Illinois State Board of Education, the monitor filed the same kind of final report as did the Illinois State Board of Education's compliance about a year ago, and the judge hasn't made any ruling with respect to that report.
That litigation went along the same way as this?
That's right. A different, slightly different time schedule. And their consent decree ended about a year before this consent decree.
But it has not been closed out yet.
Oh, no. They've been dismissed. I mean, the case is over as of the Illinois State Board.
Right, but the report is still pending.
No, that report has been filed. It was filed on.
Did the judge make any determinations on that report?
No, none whatsoever.
It was just filed as a monitor's report.
That's all.
Case closed?
Yes. The judge said that the Illinois State Board is out of this. They don't need to appear or do anything more.
Did he enter a final judgment?
I'm sorry? No.
Did he enter final judgment?
No. When the judge's view about that was that when the consent decree terminated as to the Illinois State Board, it was over. There was nothing left to do.
But he has a different view about this.
No. No.
Well, what about the passage that Mr. Eaton just read about how each party has the right to respond?
Oh, well, no, that was true as to the monitor's report. Both sides responded to the monitor's report. But that had no ongoing enforceable effect whatever. It's just there's the report and there's the party's response to the report, and the public can do with it what it wants.
So it's all public record.
It's all public record.
But so we're not going to, in your view, we'll not end up with anything enforceable?
No, definitely not. Actually, the district court was insulted by the idea that it was suggested that he would actually enforce something when he said enforcement's over, that there's nothing left in this case. So.
Unless we don't affirm. If the class continued, then it would be a different story, right?
I'm not sure I understand. If you do not reverse Judge Gettleman, all that's left is the monitor's report. Everything else.
But if we do reverse him, that's what I'm saying.
Oh, if you do reverse him, well, that depends on a question we address in the briefs. The Chicago Board argues that that means the case should be dismissed with prejudice. We argue that then the case should be remanded pursuant to the rule that would allow us an opportunity to see if we can reform the class and add representative plaintiffs. Chicago argues that, that can't be because there's that would be after the final order. But the point is, this would only happen after that final order be vacated. We would be back in the situation of in the beginning of the case where we have allegations as to a class, and that therefore we should be able to reform the class in accordance with the new facts and the new law under the rules. The class under the Garrity case, I think, in Sosna, it is an entity. It has standing in itself. So it should be allowed to.
The status of the monitor, mm-hmm. in my long ago years in doing class actions, the monitor was the operated on behalf of the district judge and filed things on, as reports of that. But the district judge could take that, and then I recall, maybe I'm wrong. Virtually sua sponte, make a decision on the basis of the report of the monitor.
Well, that's right. I mean, the parties in this case, whenever the monitor made recommendations to the judge, the parties had an opportunity to respond to that, and then the judge would rule after the parties responded on those issues.
So you don't see this monitor in this case, in this class action, under these circumstances concerning educational matters, different than other monitors in, say, prison cases or jail cases or so?
No. I think the monitors had some unique types of responsibilities under the consent decree. For example, in the Education Connection program, there were school improvement plans that required the monitor's approval in order to get all the funding that the individual schools would get under that. All of this is reviewable by the district court. But those under the decree, those improvement plans had to be approved by the monitor. So there are variants, obviously, in terms of what the monitor is doing. The monitor did have this overall monitoring responsibility, which included reviewing the self-monitoring by the Chicago Board of Education issuing monitors' reports occasionally as to progress under the decree. As to the monitor's duties, I think that's where the Chicago Board really gets this whole consent decree totally wrong as to what those duties are, because the thrust of the Chicago Board's argument that this case is contrary to JMES mistakes the monitor's role. They put forward the monitor as making individualized decisions. There were no individualized decisions made. The monitor would look at individual schools, individual IEPs, but she would only do that for the purpose of determining whether the systemic reforms were being carried out.
In other words, the monitor wasn't a sort of tenuous adjudicator under individual problems, but just a gross problem that needed to be addressed.
Well, that's exactly right. She had no decision-making authority as to any individual child. She couldn't order the board to do anything. She could not approve education plans and make reviews, but she had no decision-making authority. The board's view that in order to that her looking at individual schools and the individual IEPs in order to determine whether the systemic reforms were being carried out, if that's to be outlawed, it's hard to see how any systemic consent decree could be enforced, because enforcement requires a look at how the systemic reforms are being carried out on the ground. And clearly, the Supreme Court is not going to reverse that type of authority. I mean, the Brown versus Plata case, I think the recent one on releasing California prisoners because they weren't getting medical care, is an excellent example of where the monitors had to look at individual examples of medical care in order to determine that the whole class's rights were being violated. I don't see how you could enforce a consent decree like this.
So am I correct in understanding that the plaintiffs, the relief obtained in the decree won't be complete unless the report, the monitor's report, is issued and plaintiff's counsel has an opportunity to respond to that?
Well, it depends what you mean by relief. The judge made it clear there's going to be no injunctive relief. Nobody's going to be ordered to do anything. There's no legal relationships being altered in any way by the monitor's report, but the case isn't over until the monitor files the report and the parties have an opportunity to respond.
Now, the report with respect to the state board was filed, responses were made, and nothing ever happened.
Right.
If that would happen for your clients, mm-hmm. would your relief be complete under that decree?
Oh, yes. Right. Yeah.
So that I had the same question as far as the state board We went through the whole monitoring system with comments afterward.
Yes.
And there, to your knowledge, has there been any litigation as a result of that monitoring report?
Oh, none. In fact, the...
Was it sealed?
No. Never. It wasn't asked to be sealed. The monitor's report turned out to be very complimentary in many respects of both the state board's compliance and the Chicago board's compliance.
Of course, the monitor's report regarding the suit against the state, or the aspect of the suit against the state, is part of the monitor's overlooking of the city's, the CPS's.
Oh, yes. Right. The decree required the state to monitor Chicago and to try to assure that Chicago did not violate the LRE rights of students. So the degree of Chicago compliance also was a measure of the degree of the state's compliance.
Well, I guess part of the problem that all of us, I mean, the judges on the bench, when is this case over? Is it over? You tell me.
Well, it's absolutely clear when it's over.
Well, it's not as clear as
well, yeah. I think. It's over when the monitor files her report and the parties have had that opportunity to respond. And there's nothing left of the case. The judge has made it absolutely clear.
Well, if one side or the other just thinks that the report is absolutely, totally inappropriate, that's it, though it doesn't make any difference?
They can file their response. And explain in detail why it's absolutely inappropriate. But yes, there's nothing
that
more.
That gets back to Judge Tinder's comment. This seems to be more public relations than it is actual legal.
Exactly. I think they have an exaggerated fear of the monitor's criticisms. But regardless of that, it has no legal impact whatever. And parties can use the information to make their litigation more efficient. I mean, there's nothing wrong with...
We'll see ultimately a judgment in a civil case. I mean, ultimately that'll be there somewhere along the line in the district court.
A judgment dismissing the case? I'm not sure. The judge may feel that since the decree terminates in its own terms, and that's all specified...
And it has terminated as of August 31?
In terms of anything enforceable, it terminated. The only thing left, as I say, is the monitor's report. So I see my time is up. Thank you.
Thank you, Jeff. How much? 2 minutes.
I'll be brief.
My concern is exactly what Mr. Elson argued, is that when a parent would file a future lawsuit and base the allegations on what's in that monitor's report, Mr. Elson or a fine attorney like Mr. Elson is going to get up and say that the monitor was an arm of the court, that that report was critical to the end of that case. And when Judge Kaney, you ask, well, shouldn't we have the monitor here? And he says, no, that'd be like calling Judge Gettleman. That's my point. That's the concern we have, that that type of gloss is going to be put on this monitor's report.
There are already monitor reports in the record, correct?
There is one that relates to ISBE, yes.
Okay. If the judgment is vacated here, does that negate that report? Does it somehow vacate that report as well?
No, I don't believe so, Your Honor. And the reason I say that is that we are asking for relief from the time we filed the 60B5 motion, which is March of 2012. That was filed before then, so it would not negate that report. All we're asking is that this monitor report not be allowed to be filed within a case that should no longer have been allowed to continue after March.
But you're asking more than that, though. You're asking for decertification of the class and vacation of the decree and dismissal of the case.
We are.
Would that include dismissal of the case against the state and vacation of the decree insofar as it affects the state?
You know, Your Honor, it's vague. Counsel is absolutely right. The report was filed and there were objections. There were no further rulings. And it's just sort of there. There's not been a formal dismissal. And we've raised that in our briefs. And they said, well, of course, Judge Gettleman has said he's done with them. But there hasn't been. So
you didn't object to the decree relative to the state, did you?
Well, we, as far as ISBE was concerned, there were some findings in there which we knew we'd have our time later to address. So that was really the plaintiffs and in ISBE that was involved, and we did have some comments. So what we are asking, we fortunately may find ourselves back up here shortly, is that at least until this court decides whether or not it's appropriate to go forward with the final of the monitor's report, at least have it filed under seal or defer the monitor's report until this court has had an opportunity to decide. Thank you very much.
Thank you, counsel. Thanks to both counsel. The case will be taken under advisement.